So, I don't know how anybody wants to do this. I was thinking if you want, I can give a quick rundown of the proposed new bylaws and kind of a little bit of background. I won't bore you with all the details, but like how we came to this decision, and then jump into any questions people have. Does that work?
Yeah.
Okay. So, as you may or may not know, our proposal is to transition a There are a few different proposals, but our biggest one, the biggest part of the new bylaws, is to transition away from our current district makeup into special interest sections. So currently we have seven districts in the state. Each of them has a chair or co-chair. And their main responsibilities are to plan continuing education events in the district and to kind of be the representative for that area of Indiana. We currently have two vacant districts. So I always get these wrong, North Central, I believe, which is like the South Bend area. And then the West Central, which is like Lafayette, West Lafayette. So those are vacant and have been vacant for a while. And we've had conversations for a while from the district directors about are we doing right by our members? Are we doing the best we can for our members? And something that most people came to a consensus about in the past year has been this desire to switch to a special interest section model, very similar to what AOTA does. A lot of the discussion came out of directors that are super knowledgeable in their areas. They have the contacts in their practice areas at their setting, but they lack connections in other areas of practice and feel that they're not offering everything they could to their district members who don't practice in the same setting they do. And so the proposal was to switch to special interest sections to give everyone a better chance of connecting with people that have their same interests, getting CEU opportunities that match the interests that they have. And we're proposing five with the idea and the hope that within those five special interest sections, people will form subgroups. Those subgroups won't have chairs. They'll be kind of informal within the special interest section. But our five like overarching proposed groups are children and youth, rehab and disability, mental health, productive aging, and academic education. So I put in the like frequently asked questions document I put together, I said, if you're within the rehab and disability group, we already have a group that is really interested in forming a group centered around hand therapy. So that could be a subgroup. If you're in the children and youth section, something like sensory processing or early intervention, we see those sorts of groups kind of naturally forming out of them. Every special interest section will have either a chair or co-chair. It is an elected position, just like the district directors are. They'll serve a two-year term. And they are, again, kind of in charge of being the representative for that section, planning continuing education opportunities. And then also with the transition to our new website, we do have the capability now to have forums. So we would set up a forum for each special interest section, very similar to Communoti. So where you can post your questions, networking or CEU opportunities you have found outside of IOTA, et cetera, on that page. And they are in charge of kind of managing the forum as well. So that's our biggest change, obviously. We also have kind of a few like smaller level changes. In general, we went through the bylaws and updated like technical language to reflect the capabilities that we now have. So switching to virtual, there was still language in there about sending things by mail. We don't send anything by mail anymore. So we updated that to be electronic mail, using virtual meeting capabilities, things like that. And then we also inserted our two committees that are not currently in the bylaws, which are our Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee and our Student Subcommittee of our Membership Committee. We want to make sure those stay in the bylaws and stay within the organization well into the future. So that was a lot of talking that I just did. What are people's questions that we can answer, either about the changes or any more information that the board members present can give about how we got to this point?
Well, I know I had a brief conversation with Alyssa the other day, and I think it's important to bring up that a lot of other states have gone this route.
Yes.
Could you maybe speak to that a little bit about how other states are doing it and why they did it?
Yeah, so actually, Andrew Rivera, who I saw popped on, he put me in contact with Arizona's OT Association. They have a Huntington University campus in Arizona, where Andrew works for Huntington. And she was part of that switch to special interest sections. And so we talked a lot about what's the makeup, and really, we want to make sure it's feasible for our members, but also the people we're putting into these chair positions. And so we talked about, okay, you know, what are the core responsibilities? She sent us her bylaws, which was very helpful in drafting our bylaws. And then I don't have the numbers on how many states actually, you know, I don't have that information in front of me, but this was a conversation that was at our ASAP or our gathering of state presidents at the annual AOTA conference last year. Just kind of a general conversation about like, how are we engaging members? And I think the states that were most successful in engagement, we all have this communal question of how do we increase engagement, but the ones that had a lot of success had these specialized groups that were able to offer things that specialized members wanted. And it's something that's really interesting because we've seen this come out of our student mentorship program too. People have a lot of very specialized interests. And I think this makeup allows us to give those people a place to connect. You know, whereas one district director might not have connections in these super specific areas, now we have these communities of all rehab and disability practitioners who might. Andrew, I see your hand up.
Hi. So excuse me, I'm gonna leave my camera off. I'm with my kids. But yeah, so one of the, I guess, more specific areas of practice we were looking at was, you know, there's hand therapists that we don't have really much representation in our state organization, but then looking at students who want to take that track ultimately, and they're not opting to engage in our state organization because they don't feel like it's relevant to them. And I think even more so with like some of the special areas of that we've looked at with regarding women's health. At least I know my students are having a lot of interest regarding women's health and more specifically pelvic floor. So I think that, you know, when looking at the development of these special interest sections, those voices can be heard a little bit more and help us move forward as a state.
I think it would also, you know, that also helps us generate experts for when we want to do legislative things.
Yes. because, you know, Lauren and I try as we might, we are not hand therapists. We do not do dry needling. And I know Christine and I have had many conversations about dry needling in the past, where it is, you know, people bring us excellent ideas for legislation and we kind of flounder a little bit because it's not our area of practice. And so I think kind of like Andrew said, like developing these specialized groups helps us in the long run too, when those issues become a policy priority for us.
Yeah. Well, because the women's issues ad hoc group sort of came up through legislative, but honestly, it would be a really good subcommittee of the rehab and FISDIS group. Yeah.
Oh, wow. And I think with Ashley Wilson being the co-Northeast director, she's a certified hand therapist. And I kind of recruited her, you know, like we all recruit each other onto IOTA things on board, because she came to me two summers ago asking about dry needling and, you know, what's our stance? Do we have any statements on that regarding practice? Because she's a certified hand therapist. And I said, you know, really, if you want to, you know, make things happen, you have to be involved. We would love to have, you know, your voice at the table. I just think that the special interest section, design is the way to go. And I'm happy. Thank you, Laura, for collaborating with Heidi there in Arizona to kind of move things forward.
Yeah, that was insanely helpful. Yeah, Lauren, go ahead.
I was just going to say too, I think kind of to echo what other people have said already, I think will help. Our community is very small in the grand scheme of things. So I think this will also allow more of us to come together and to help make that community smaller. So we all know what's going on. I am in acute care and we talk about all the time, how especially in the ICU, we don't have good relationships with other surrounding hospitals and we use all the same physicians generally. I'm at Eskenazi in Indianapolis. So, you know, with all the IU health doctors that we work with, like we don't know what the other therapists are doing at other hospitals. And so this would be a great way or an avenue to get some of us together who are interested in critical care, for example, to be able to come together more frequently and kind of know what we're doing. And then obviously, like Christine said too, I think it helps from a policy standpoint to kind of have a better pulse on what people's interests are, what membership cares about, so that we know what it is we want to do. And the last thing that I'll say too, I think Laura's done a really good job of trying to, along with the membership committee, of blasting things out to social media and email. We now have a new website. So I think also for any information that gets shared with the special interest group, I think we're in a better position to post some of this stuff on social media and post it on the website so that there is a little bit better catalog of what is going on in the state.
Well, I know that I can share because I'm the RA rep for AOTA for Indiana, and everybody across the nation, all different sizes and non-for-profits and membership groups are suffering with engagement issues. You know, and they're all looking for different ways to manage things, structure things so we can increase engagement. So, I mean, this sounds like a positive way to go. Sorry, Alyssa, I maybe spoke over you.
You're fine. I just wanted to add that just like districts, like how we've been doing with districts lately, every continuing ed course we offer, even if it's for children and youth, will go out to all members and any member can go to that CEU course. So if something does, you know, you have interest in something that outside of your special interest group, then you could still attend other courses as well.
That's a great point. Thank you, Alyssa. And to Christine's point, like, yes, everyone is grasping with the same issue. And I think that's where we were we got to the point where we're like, well, what's the harm in trying and seeing if this is a way to engage just a little bit more than we are now. Hopefully a lot more, but at the very least a little.
Yeah. Well, I think that people can get something more out of it too. Like if you've been an expert at a state level on something, that's something that can go on your resume.
Mm-hmm.
That people may see as a benefit, right? To themselves, instead of just, well, I was this district officer, right? So I think that, you know, that could be. Now, I mentioned this to Alyssa, and I'll ask you guys, and I don't know about the funds for IOTA, okay? And I don't even know if IOTA pays for the president's dues to AOTA, do they?
No.
Okay. So that might be something to consider. I know we don't have a huge budget, but pretty much you need to belong to AOTA if you're going to participate in the ASAP, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I really think if we're going to have SIS chairs, they should have access to AOTA's information and also the policy stuff going on, because they're not just an expert, they also have voice and vote, right, in the association. So, I mean, that's just something that I don't know if we can afford it or not, but it'd be a nice incentive. And I think it would be a fair thing for the association to reimburse for, because it's necessary to the position of the president. And I see it as necessary to the position of these different district people. So, I mean, I just throw it out there.
No, I think that's it's a great idea. I think, you know, to think about in the future, as we talk about engagement, we have had the conversation and they actually added it to our ASAP bylaws. That you have to be an AOTA member to be in ASAP and access ASAP materials. And that actually came out of, they did not hit quorum to vote for an ASAP chairperson last time around. And they realized a few state presidents were not AOTA members. And so that kind of very similar conversation to what you just briefly said came up about, you know, what message does that send? What resources are you missing without that membership? So
yeah
I think that's a fair suggestion to make for SIS chairs too. So definitely something to consider if this
and for the president.
What?
And for the president.
Yes. I am a member of AOTA.
I know you are, but you're paying for it.
My own knowledge. Happily, we'll do that. But yes, no, I think that's a great discussion point to bring up too.
I noticed that you changed the auxiliary.
Yes.
You had a membership auxiliary. Was that just combining?
Yes. Things? So okay. In the old, or in the current bylaws, we have an auxiliary membership. And that is, if you are a member of another state's organization, you can be a member of ours for a discounted cost. And then we also had an associate membership. And to be completely honest, nobody really knew what exactly that category did. And it was kind of like a supporter of OT could do that membership level. And We had a case in January, I believe, where a professor at a university is not an OT, but wanted to support the organization and be a member. And there was a lot of confusion about, can you join? How do you join? And our thought process was, if someone is asking to join our organization, why is there a barrier in the way? So we took down that barrier, we combined those two. So now if you're an OT in another state and you want, you know, a lot of this is like people in like the border of Indiana and Ohio or Indiana and Kentucky, that want to, you know, be a member of both, they can do that at a discounted rate by proving their membership in the other organization or just a general supporter. We just combined it into one to be less confusing.
Sounds good.
Any other questions, thoughts?
I mean, I'm scanning over this and I'm not seeing anything that's really triggering anything. It seems smart to have where half the officers, half the SIS chairs would be elected at a time so that you wouldn't have a massive cleaning of house.
Yes, so it's half the officers. We did for this make all SIS chairs be elected at the same time because to start the transition, we didn't want half of our SIS, you know, to start next year or whenever and half not. So they will all run on an election together.
Right, to get started, but you've got in here.
Yes, and then does it go, Alyssa? I honestly can't remember.
Yeah, it's like on page 11. To implement the staggered terms of office, class one officers are in even numbered years and class two officers and SIS chairs in odd numbered. So do you really want all the SIS chairs to turn over at the same time?
We went back and forth, honestly. You know, and that's, it's where we landed, I think, to be less confusing in the transition period. It was kind of a coin toss, to be honest with you.
Yeah. It's easier to get started that way. So I guess if it becomes an issue, we can always relook at it. Right. Yeah.
We also thought about the training that it takes for district directors, et cetera, and having to do that every year, every other year versus every year, you know, and our hope is that maybe these SIS chairs don't turn over every 2 years.
Right. Absolutely. I don't see anything else that I have a question about. I think that, why did you highlight the DEI committee? Was that just not in there before?
Yeah, it was never in there.
Okay.
It was never in there, and the student subcommittee was never in there.
Okay.
So we wanted those. You know, we have board standard operating procedures that don't have to go to membership. Those are written for those, but we wanted them also in bylaws.
Yeah. And I don't see anything else, so.
We tried to keep it minimal. We realized as we went through, like, oh, there's a little more changes than we kind of first anticipated, just because, like, oh, we should clean up those membership levels, or like little things came up, but we really tried to keep it as transparent as possible that our biggest proposal is special interest sections.
I don't have any other questions.
Okay.
Nothing else for me.
Well, we appreciate all of those. Those were great discussions to have. I know we said voting will open October 26th. I think it's a Wednesday. It was exactly 30 days from when we released these. And that will be an electronic vote, which I put an answer to that question in the FAQ document, because we have typically in the past with things like this voted in person at fall conference. But we discussed that and feel like it kind of limits who can vote. Based on your ability to access and afford fall conference. And also it can get a little tricky, even when we say, hey, if you're not a member, please don't raise your hand. It can get tricky at times to make sure that everyone voting is a member. So, those were the two reasons we went with electronic voting. We think it gives more access and we can verify your membership easier.
There you go.
So what's the timeline? We vote to amend the bylaws?
Yes.
And then is there, when's the next election, or if this passes for the SIS, when does that election happen?
So So that will come out. Oh, Alyssa, what did we decide on?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
We decided that we would wait till the second quarter to implement the full change, which would allow us to have time to run those elections in January during that first quarter. Prepare, you know, put out call for SIS chairs in December if they pass, and then vote in the first quarter, train the first quarter, and then implement going forward starting the second quarter. We still plan on having CEU opportunities during that first quarter as well, but just not with the SIS yet.
Thank you, Alyssa. My dates are all jumbled.
If I read through this and I have any other questions, I think you guys sent out an email. We can just email.
Yeah, respond to that email. The FAQ document, we put the exec board email on there that is then dispersed to whoever can best answer a question. So yeah, definitely this is not the last time we are open for questions. We're happy to answer anything, even into voting. Anything else we can answer for anyone? Is the voting yes? So like Andrew, like an all or nothing, is that what you mean? I'm guessing. Yeah. That's what we've talked about. Because it's kind of hard with the changes that we've proposed to kind of like piece them out. But that is, I mean, that is a discussion that we can have, you know, if we pull out SIS, adding the DEI and student, and then changing the membership levels. I think that is a discussion we can have, but we had originally at least planned on kind of listing everything.
Well, I think the SIS chairs is by far the biggest thing. Everything else is pretty small. So I can see why you would want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
How many votes do you need to pass this?
Quorum is
I don't have the document up, but I feel like it was a very low number and we discussed changing it, but then also realized how few people actually vote.
Mm-hmm.
And if that would cause problems. I feel like it's maybe
15.
Mm-hmm. That's what it was. We did not change that.
But, you know, look at the problems. Even an organization as big as AOTA is
right
with a quorum of 100.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, people just don't vote.
Yeah. And that is, Andrew, I saw your comment. That is a good point that maybe the board, I can send an email to the board to discuss, do we do this in an all over one or piece by piece? So
I guess I'm looking at what you've got in here, and it seems to me the auxiliary membership and just making those two committees standing, I mean, those aren't controversial.
Right.
It would be the change to the SIS chairs.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's a positive thing. I think it'll move us to where people will feel like they're getting maybe a little more out of it. because right now I really sell AOTA and IOTA based on lobbying and policy.
That's how we sell it too a lot.
So I'd like to be able, I mean, there's lots of other good things with networking and education and everything, but you know, this might really bring that to the forefront.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, if there aren't any other questions, we won't keep you. But like I said, if anything comes up, we're happy to answer any questions. You know, you can respond to the email that you RSVP'd to. You can email that exec board at inota.com. We're easily reachable in a lot of ways. So we're happy to answer anything.
Thank you. I appreciate your time tonight.
Yeah,
I
appreciate you all hopping on and being a part of this conversation.
Laura,
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, when will the recording be available? Because I want to make sure that at least my students that are members get, you know, opportunity to see this.
It does not take that long to transfer to the cloud, so I can have it out probably tonight or tomorrow morning.
Well, I was really meaning, is it going to be like on IOTA's website?
Yeah, we're like uploading it to the website.
Okay.
Yep.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
And for any of you who have spoken to other people in other states that are doing this, were there any problems that they encountered if they had started out differently, if they had started out with a model a little bit more like what we currently have?
I haven't had those specific conversations. I think the biggest thing, and it's something we face now even before a transition, is making sure people are interested in putting themselves into position, like the leadership roles. And making sure, which you know, it's a valid concern. It's a concern I have too, of making this huge change and making sure we can adequately staff these special interest sections. But I just feel like we have the people that are interested. They just haven't been utilized in these roles before and would now enter into that. So I think recruitment, not just of members into these, you know, groups, but the leadership roles is kind of a recurring challenge.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. All right. Well, I will let you all go, but if you have any questions,